I take what I learned early on in the Nurse Coach Collective, that many people overestimate what they can do in 1 year, but underestimate what they can do in three. I take that reminder a lot, and I will check in with myself about what's priority.
Hey, fellow nurses, welcome to the best place for you to learn all about nurse coaching. I'm Heather.
And I'm Peter. We're co-founders of the Nurse Coach Collective, where we've helped thousands of nurses find more freedom and fulfillment by training them to become board-certified nurse coaches.
If you want to help your patients prevent, treat, and reverse disease through holistic lifestyle coaching.
If you want something more from your nursing practice, then head on over to nursecoachcollective.com.
Together, we're transforming healthcare one conversation at a time. But for now, let's jump into today's episode. Nurses and nurse coaches, welcome back to the Nurse Coach Collective podcast. I'm your host, Heather. If you've ever wondered how to balance it all, be a nurse coach, a mom, an entrepreneur, host workshops, maybe write a book too, then you're going to want to join me today for a conversation with nurse coach Jenna Hardcastle. Jenna is a multifaceted wellness enthusiast who teaches yoga, hosts breathwork workshops, educates about the nervous system, and co-hosts mindful medicine retreats. She also works part-time at a naturopathic medical clinic with one foot in helping patients get to the root of chronic illness and the other in guiding people towards wellness through mind, body, and spirit connection. Jenna, welcome.
Hey, thank you for that intro. It feels so surreal to be in the position that I once looked up to. It feels like such a privilege.
Let's go back in time to past life, Jenna. Where were you? What were you doing? And who were you looking up to?
3 or 4 years ago now, like around COVID times, and I was starting the Nurse Coach Collective, just starting my journey, and looking up to you and Peter and going to the Nurse Coach Conference and like seeing the people on stage and you having conversations with them. I so desperately wanted to be one of those people. And now here I am having a conversation with you on a podcast.
I remember that evening very clearly. It was after we had a big bonfire and standing by the fire with you and just being like, there's something more here. I'm made for something bigger. We're going to be connecting deeper. So it certainly took us long enough to get this scheduled, which is entirely my fault and my busy life and schedule, but I'm super grateful that we now have the chance to get to be here and really learn about like what your journey has been like since then, because you've had years now to let nurse coaching kind of unfold in the way that it has for you while simultaneously doing lots of other cool stuff. Like when I read your introduction there, I think of how many nurses listening to that, like you're the person that they are wanting to look up to and wanting to be like, because so many people come in and they're like, well, I have all of these interests and passions and ideas. How do I bring in yoga? How do I bring in breath work? How do I bring in retreats? And it all feels kind of impossible or like a pipe dream or like, well, maybe that person can do it, but I could never do it. Tell me how things have unfolded since that evening, since that one romantic evening around the fire.
Magic. When I think about the best things about nurse coaching and being a nurse and the hardest parts about being a nurse and a nurse coach, is I want to be able to do it all. I get so excited about various things. And the hardest part is being patient and knowing that I can have it all. I can do it all, just not all at once, has really given me permission to let it unfold organically and naturally. And the more I tried to push things to happen, the harder it got. Just simply declaring like, I want to do this, and then allowing time for to pass so it can unfold and then come to me kind of organically has just really been my process that seems to work.
You make that real for me. Like what is something or some things that you were like, I want to be doing this. I want to be doing this all at once. But then how did you have to detangle that and take it more slowly or let it to evolve more organically?
The balance between nurse and mom has really made me have to do that because I want to be a present parent. And I wanted to also be a successful entrepreneur. I wanted to build my practice. I wanted to still be a nurse and still do some stuff in the procedural realm. I wanted to teach yoga. I wanted to, once I started learning about the nervous system, I wanted to do nervous system education, really taking those in bite-sized pieces rather than flooding it all at once. It first started with, okay, I'm going to build my private practice. I'm going to build my website. I'm going to put myself out there. I'm going to start seeing one coaching client and then potentially two. I want to teach yoga again. Okay, let's reach out to my yoga community and see if there's an opportunity. And it didn't come right away. But then an opportunity came my way to, hey, this class is opening up. Would you like to teach it? Yes. I then got breathwork certified because that was super passionate for me or super healing for me. And then I wanted to start teaching workshops. And so I did some messy action and I co-partnered with a nurse practitioner who also does similar work. And we did a workshop together. And then they just started building on top of that. It's a lot of messy action and outreach.
Messy action is a term that a lot of people use inside of the coaching world. What about it feels messy? Was it truly messy? Did you fall on your face? Did you make big mistakes? Were there epic failures? Or does messy action just get equated with like, do something, do anything? What does that mean for you and your journey?
No, it wasn't messy. It worked out great, but it felt really messy. It felt like things were not buttoned up the way a expert or a seasoned professional would feel, at least how I have felt as a seasoned nurse. I guess the messiness just allows me to feel a little bit better when entering psych. It doesn't have to be perfect. It doesn't even have to be like great. It just has to happen.
Yeah. Does it still feel messy? I know my answer.
I would say yes. It still feels messy, but the repetition makes it feel more accessible and easier to jump in.
Interesting. That's a good point. Like the repetition in terms of like just doing it, being fearless, getting that practice of just like jumping in, moving quickly, trying stuff on. Is that what you mean?
Yeah.
I think it feels messy almost every single day. And not just in business, not just in nurse coaching, like in life, in parenting, in motherhood. And that used to be something that was really terrifying. I mean, you're far more seasoned of a bedside nurse than I ever was. And I remember constantly looking up and being like, is there ever going to be that point where I get to the place that it doesn't feel messy? It feels easy. I feel confident every day. I know what's coming. And I don't know, maybe I could have stayed bedside for decades and I'm not convinced that it would have come, because to this day in my practice, you know, things feel messy. Things surprise me. But if they didn't, I think it would be pretty boring.
It's usually like my check or entrance into like, okay, what's next? If I'm feeling a little bored or I'm feeling like this is coming too easily, it's like, okay, I need to stretch myself a little further. I need to learn a little bit more. I'm catching myself as I'm saying that because my need or want to continue to grow, continue to develop also makes that bar feel like it's never reachable because I always keep raising it. And so I'm also on the journey of giving myself permission to like just be and just like let it be messy, let it be present, let it be whatever it is so that I don't get 10 years down my nurse coach career and we're like, where did it all go?
Yeah, it's almost like what we teach and what we live and breathe as nurse coaches, which is that unattachment from the outcome. We can have our goals, we can set our sights high, and we should keep having that bar that raises and raises, because as we grow and evolve and become new people, our sights are going to shift and change and, you know, move onward and upward. And yet, if we get caught in that trap and we like create our own little rat race in our own little mind or entrepreneurial world, then yeah, we look back 10 years from now and we're like, where did it all go and what happened? And that's not just true for business and for our nurse coaching roles, but like for life. You know, nothing is a greater indicator of a passage of time than watching our littles grow up. And the last thing I want to do is look back and be like, oh man, I forgot to be in that moment. So maybe that's a great question. It's like, so how do you just be? What helps you to just give yourself that permission and be?
Breath work has been insurmountable to learn how to be present and also to learn how to feel. I feel so comfortable in my head, but learning how to be present with what's in my body and not just be present with it, allow it to be okay with how uncomfortable it feels, how comfortable it feels. So much of what I'm talking about right now is what I talk about in my book. And like the hardest part, like now being an author, is like continuously practicing what I preach. And yes, I teach all this stuff. I practice all this stuff. It doesn't make it any easier. Just learning to be with my body, creating rituals, creating practices, creating then habits to be with myself in all of its complexity.
Okay, hold on. Let's back up and have you officially and formally introduce your book, because that is something that I did not do when I introduced you. What's it called? When's it coming out? And yeah, tell us a little bit more about that.
It's called The Human Beneath the Hero: Finding Balance Between Self-Care and Other Care. And it has been my journey, somewhat of a memoir and somewhat of a guidebook, not only coming from a background of firefighters, entering into nursing, then kind of what I've learned along the way and what I encourage other people to embody. And I also point out struggles or pitfalls within the culture and the system.
You've shared with me before that something that you're passionate about is like thinking back on all of those things that you wish you had learned sooner, whether it's like in your life or inside of the nursing world. Is the book in some way like meant to speak back to your younger self or nurses who are in that entry-level world and kind of wishing, giving them what you wish you had?
Yeah, I mean, so much comes from a Brené Brown quote, and that the lessons we learned or the struggles we learn along the way eventually become the guidebook for somebody else. And so I think about on my journey, how many self-development books I've read, how many courses I've taken, so many frustrations along the way. First, when I became a nurse, and then I became a yoga teacher. It's like, why didn't they teach us this stuff in nursing school? And then I became a nurse coach, and I was like, why don't they teach us this stuff in nursing school? All the stuff I've learned about nervous system work. I'd read all these self-development books, but none of them were geared towards healthcare professionals or people in the service industry. And so I'm like, well, I guess I'll write one. There it is.
And that's awesome, because I think that anytime we can find something that we want and we wonder, why didn't this happen? Why doesn't this exist? It can be really easy to then get caught up in that question alone. Like, why doesn't this thing exist? I really want to see this thing, but it doesn't exist. So that sucks, right? We kind of throw up our hands. And I see nurses do this all the time. There's something that they're frustrated with, or they want something to change. The system is broken, right? That sucks. We're going to complain about it. We're going to throw up our hands. And one of the beautiful things about so many nurse coaches in our community is that when we see something that doesn't exist, that should exist, and we're asking that question over and over again, we recognize that the solution is, guess I'm going to go make that thing. Guess I'm going to go create that thing. Whether that is writing a book or creating that workshop or creating that community, right? The one that you want to be a part of, but why doesn't it exist? Oh, I guess I have to create it. I'm going to create it for myself. So I think that is so awesome, Jenna. And I hope you feel incredibly proud of yourself, because writing a book is no small feat, my friend.
I mean, the idea came to me when I was on maternity leave. This like layout of, okay, I have enough content. I could write a 10 chapter book, and then using my coaching skills to then coach myself, and then also having support say, okay, we're going to create a plan and we're going to write one chapter a month. And then in close to a year from now, I'll have a whole book. And now we're at the end of that where it's going to be published.
You get to walk around adding to your list, adding to your title of credentials and accolades, a published book author. Were you able to mostly stick that schedule of a chapter a month?
I was able to give myself some space, like, okay, sometimes I'm not going to write one in a month. Sometimes I'll write two, but really holding myself accountable by sharing it to other people. Oh, hey, I'm writing a book. And then, okay, now I got to own up to that. Now I got to actually write it if I'm sharing it out into the world.
Yeah, great strategy. I love that. I love that nurse coaching strategy is like, how can I create accountability for myself? And often that can be such a powerful way, right? You go out and you make that declaration. And sometimes we do that for ourselves, right? We create our own mantras or we write things down, write our letters of intention to ourselves. And sometimes it's at putting it out there externally, right? Nope. Well, now I told people, so now I got to do this thing. Actually, that's the way that the Nurse Coach Collective was born, is we started to talk about the program and offer and sell the program before it was done. And I remember having a call way back when, almost a decade ago, with the very first person who ended up getting off that phone call and being like, this is a total no-brainer. I'm going to sign up for this course. Signed up, paid us money, and Peter and I looked at each other and we had that moment of like, okay, so we said it, we put it out into the universe and made the declaration. Now we got to do it. Now we got to finish this thing up. I love that as a wonderful nurse coaching technique that we can always use to help our clients and also ourselves.
I didn't know that. So that feels so cool.
Yeah. And it's actually been a really great thing to remember in every stage of my life and my practice, which is like, I can be the thing before I've done the thing. Talk about being a book author before I've actually written the book. That's part of making it come to fruition. I can start selling the retreat and talking to people about how amazing it's going to be before I've paid the deposit and booked the spot. And sometimes those things are really important to do because you need that external validation or that security, right? To know, yeah, this is really going to be worth my investment of time and energy and resources to do that. So I'm sure I could think of other things, but not just with the course. And it was a coach actually of Peter's, a coach that Peter was working with at the time, who gave him that permission to do that and said, you know, it doesn't have to be completely done before you start talking about it and putting it out there. And we're like, it doesn't. Total mindset shift. Thank you very much.
I love that so much.
Another vivid memory I have is being outside of the cafeteria at that first Nurse Coach Collective retreat. And you came and you said, one of my goals is to be bold and to be brave. And that was an intention that I set. And you were like, so I'm going to do that. And I sit down and have lunch with you. And I don't know how you felt at that time, but I was like, oh yeah, you can sit down. Let's have lunch. Were you pregnant at that time? Where were you in your motherhood journey?
There was something going on there. I was 2 and I was contemplating having another one.
Okay.
And I did. I got pregnant shortly after that and had a miscarriage, which has been another part of my journey. And since then, I have my rainbow baby, who is now 17 months. Those are my kids. I've got a 5.5-year-old and a 17-month-old.
Okay. So what I was remembering was you being, I think, in the throes of like the next chapter of my life, I think, wants to include a second child. And how do I balance all of that with all of these goals and wanting to do everything, right? That's also another piece of wanting to do it all, like not just as a nurse and a nurse coach and an entrepreneur, but like wanting to do it all as a human and a woman and a mom, not just any mom, like a great mom who is really present. Thanks for sharing that. Peter and I went through our own experience with that. And now we are just very close. I don't know if you can see this. Very close to welcoming. Sometimes I wear black and you can't really tell. I'm like, no, it's huge. Let me turn it sideways. Welcoming in our own rainbow baby. And this one's a little girl. So I'm very excited.
So happy. That has just been such like kids are just the best teachers. And that loss that I went through gave me a whole nother experience of what anger was, what it felt like to be stuck in grief. I would seek out coaches and I was not ready to be coached. I was just so stuck in grief that I just needed support. And that's kind of how mindful medicine retreats started to be born, because ketamine was a very supportive thing for me. And so now I host medicine retreats with a nurse practitioner who prescribes the ketamine. I do the yoga and the breath work and then also support the ketamine administration. Really just going through my own process, I grew out of that a better person, a better mom, a better nurse. And just like the really hard stuff, now I can see like when I'm in those hard moments, like, okay, this is just a storm. This is not forever. This is a storm cloud that's passing over me.
Do you talk about that side of things, that side of your practice in your book as well?
I do. It's very inclusive about all kinds of things like strength and vulnerability, presence, doing the inner work, the power of gratitude, just really involves and invites the complexity of human beings and human nature, and to not only recognize the complexity of the people that we care for, but also realize the complexity of ourselves and to honor that and to just allow ourselves to be human throughout the whole process.
Even when you were in a place of seeking support or seeking coaching, you weren't actually ready for coaching. You didn't actually want that in that moment of grief. And maybe it's grief at one point or any other kind of challenge or struggle. And that's really important for us to know about ourselves, to be able to assess, like, when is that type of support beneficial for me and when is it not? And also for us to be able to help our clients with, because sometimes we work with people and they keep showing up, right? Session after session. And yet progress isn't being made. And so having that personal experience to be able to untangle, okay, is there something that we're not doing inside of our coaching relationship that's not working for you? Or are you in a place in your life where this is not the moment for coaching? And then if so, that's totally fine. So then what else can we bring in to support you with your growth or with your healing or whatever it is that you're going through? I think we don't talk about that side of things very often. We tend to say, you know, coaching is for everybody and everyone can benefit from a coach, which is true. I believe that side of things too. But again, not all the time, right? Not all the time in every instance. Well, I'm really excited to read your book. Read more about that side of things, especially so when I read that piece and I was introducing you of that mindful medicine retreats, the language of it sounds so cool to me. I'm like, oh, people are going to be really interested in that. But then also like question mark, what exactly does that mean? So partnering with a nurse practitioner who has the prescribing rights to be able to utilize ketamine, but then also your side of things is implementing facilitation with that as well? Or is it the coaching? And then you said the yoga and the breath work. Build it out for me a little bit so I could understand somebody's kind of complete experience going through that kind of a program.
I never wanted to do things on my own. I've always wanted to co-partner, co-facilitate. And so meeting this nurse practitioner, we have very similar passions about mental health, physical health, the use of supportive psychedelics like ketamine. So we created this retreat where it includes all of the things, it includes mindfulness, and it also includes medicine. So I teach the yoga, I teach breathwork facilitation, and then at the end or the last part of the retreat is the ketamine. So you've prepared your body, you've prepared your mind, and then you receive the medicine and then you enter into that medicine realm. And then afterwards, we do integration. And so really bringing voice to their experience, making meaning of it, and then creating action steps or habits or support to take those lessons that are learned in the retreat. into your everyday life.
What are some of the reasons why somebody would seek out a retreat in an experience like that? And is it usually something that they will go and have that experience with you and your co-partner once? Or is it more of a repetition throughout the weeks, months, years?
So we currently offer it twice a year, but that doesn't mean they can't have like support in between. But the actual retreat, like going to Leavenworth to have a full experience, a 3-day retreat, is only offered so frequently. But somebody might enter this into, or they might go into this retreat if they are just kind of burnt out on life. They're maybe teetering on that anxiety, depression, burnout, overwhelm. They're looking for something different. They want to find like-minded people who are curious about what it means to expand their consciousness, their confidence, their many types of things. And also, like, ketamine is a prescription medicine. It can be used to therapeutically treat or support anxiety, depression, PTSD. One of the people that we've supported, like, we helped them get off their antidepressants. And that's just, like, so cool for me to, like, know that we've created this environment for people to go and attend and just really be human.
I think this is fascinating, and the new like research and science out there, actually a lot of it isn't that new, but it's coming to the forefront now, is so fascinating. And the idea is pretty foreign for people. Like the idea of using a substance to get off of other substances is foreign. Or like with addiction, it can have really powerful effects. So using a substance to stop being addicted to other substances, it's almost like backwards in the mind. Can you share anything about like the science side of it?
Ketamine is in the realm of psychedelic medicine. As a nurse, like I work in the legal realm. And so some of the other things that were original medicines like psilocybin and cannabis and things like that, it kind of taps into that realm of having an expanded experience while also really taking down walls that we have created. It's a ketamine is a dissociative anesthetic. And so it takes down the walls that we've created and allows us to be fully present. That is so hard for so many people to access without something to help them get there. Another cool piece to ketamine is that it helps build new neural pathways. I love the analogy of a fresh coat of powder or snow over a ski mountain. The slopes that you have created, the pathways or the grooves that are your default, you then lay a fresh coat of powder of those, and then you can create new ones. And so using the medicine to support that can help you create new lifestyle habits, new belief systems to then get off of things like antidepressants that you have used to mask or dull those symptoms.
I really appreciate that analogy because it's so true. If there is a path in front of you that is seen, that is known, that is habituated, we take it every single time. And our brain and the wiring is so different when the path is laid out. And that's why we get caught so often in our own, you know, mental, emotional, spiritual loops. And they're so hard to get out of. So that makes a lot of sense now. It's like, I mean, it goes back to what you shared earlier, which is like this season of my life is about permission to be where I am and take things as they come and create new paths without getting stuck in all the same loops. So without needing to do everything all at once, but really being present. So that's a really cool parallel. Thank you. Thanks for explaining that. I think it's important to understand from the nurse side, a little bit of the science side as well, especially because I guess depending on what setting you've worked in, seeing some nurses like know ketamine intimately through, I think Peter said his initial introduction to that was just as an ER nurse. And that was, excuse me if I'm misquoting this, and this is not accurate, but one of the safe things that he was able to give for like pediatric patients or something. So then to like reframe it in your brain is like, nope, this is not just for that use, but there's also all these other really different uses.
Allowing myself to be a human being and not a human doing has been a big part of my nurse and many other hats that I wear journey.
Do you think that reading your book will help other people to do that, to be more and to get out of that doing trap?
I think so, because I not only share my experience, there are other people that I interview that share their experience. Several of them are nurse coaches, and I include tools for integration within each chapter to really just support the process.
You really are demonstrating somebody who is able to have so many different interests and passions and integrate them in a really unique way. And it's clear from just spending time with you and talking to you, like, you do have a presence about you. You do have a certain way of being. It's not like wrapped up in a, yeah, I'm doing all of these things. And, but it's very grounding. It makes me feel good to talk to you. I think a final piece I wanted to talk about with you, because I know that motherhood is such an important part of your journey and you do have your two littles. How do you create balance between doing all of this and being the kind of mom that you want to be? And what kind of words of wisdom would you give to the so many other nurses and nurse coaches out there who are like in that place where you were when you sat down with me for lunch that day of being like, how can I be the best version of myself in both of these different worlds, like the personal and the professional?
I take what I learned early on in the Nurse Coach Collective, that many people overestimate what they can do in 1 year, but underestimate what they can do in three. I take that reminder a lot, and I will check in with myself about what's priority. Being mom is number one priority. And so I then create a balance for myself and 100% scale or a whole scale and say, okay, I want to be 80% mom and 20% entrepreneur right now. Or I want to be 60% mom and 20% or 40% entrepreneur. Or, and let that scale change really just over time, just checking in like, okay, who do I want to show up as in this moment, in this season? And knowing that I have 100% to give, where do I want to divide that?
Yeah, I think that's literally like the exact question that I'm asking myself as my life is about to flip from mom of one to mom of two. And that's a super important reminder that I'm not asking myself forever, like, hey, what percent mom do I want to be? I'm asking myself in this season of life, what amount do I want to dedicate to this part of my identity? And what amount do I want to dedicate here? And obviously, it's not just work and kids, right? There's also 17,000 other things that take up our percentages. But being reminded that it's all ever changing. And that reevaluation process of checking in and being like, okay, now what do I have to give? Now where do I want this to go? I got my homework tonight, Jenna. Thanks.
You always got to leave with an action step.
I have mine. And I think that's a great action step for anybody listening is like, even if you're not trying to balance between work and family, but there's all balance, right? Doesn't every single client that you have ever worked with come to you and something that they want on their list is just more balance between all the things in their life. So like, yeah, let's take some time together collectively to tease that apart and be like, not just what can I dedicate what percentage to, but what do I really want? How do I want to divide my energy and my resources? Jenna, is there anything else on your mind, in your heart that you wanted to make sure that you get to utilize this space for before we close out?
I think if we just all, like just you and me together and all the people listening, if we just took a moment to take a breath, I feel like we can talk for days and there's always things to intellectualize and tease out, but just to be and to anchor to what keeps us alive, that would be super cool.
Do you want to guide us through a breath or two?
Yeah, I love it, this three-part breath. So allowing yourself to just wiggle a little bit in your seat or however you're seated, however you are, and just take a full breath in through your nose. Open your mouth, release. Again, full breath in. H-A, let it go. And again, a full breath in through the nose. And when you reach the top, take another sip of air and hold it. Hold it for 10, 9, 8, 7, 6, 5, 4, 3, 2, 1. Slow breath out. Thank you.
Awesome, Jenna. Thank you. And on behalf of everyone that you have just gifted that moment of stillness and presence to, thank you again. Jenna Hardcastle, everyone, incredible nurse coach and author of the very soon to be published book, The Human Beneath the Hero. If you are interested in learning more about all of the incredible work that she does and what she's been up to and will be up to next, we'll include all of her links inside of the show notes. Jenna, thank you.
Thank you, Heather. So nice to see you.
Thanks for hanging out with us today. If you enjoyed this podcast, head on over to nursecoachcollective.com, where you can start your journey to becoming a nurse coach and get in on the most transformative specialty in nursing.
Create more freedom and fulfillment in your career and connect with some of the coolest nurses on the planet. We've got our free training and tons of resources to help you get started. So go to nursecoachcollective.com.
That's nursecoachcollective.com.